God has more grace still to come in your life. There are more things that he still has to do. When he does them, they will surprise you with joy.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A Man After God's Own Heart. We're talking about David. And Colin, I think one of the things that a lot of us can take away from this story of David was this man who made a big mess of his life, a colossal mess up and a big sin. But the good news is God was not done with him.
Yeah, that's the marvelous truth of grace, isn't it? That always brings hope into our lives. And we're looking in the story of David. What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about love and about loyalty and about spiritual leadership. And, you know, you'll begin to list these things out. A lot of guys are saying, I blew it. I messed up.
Right.
I'm not there. And today's message is a story of hope for every one of us, because it's about how God comes into the lives of those who have not lived as we would want to live, have not been what we want to be. And grace makes it possible for new beginnings and for advance and for encouragement to take place. Marvelous, the story of David and how that encourages us.
Well, you'll see that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So I hope you'll open your Bible. Join us there as we continue the message, A Man After God's Own Heart. Here's Pastor Colin.
How can you be a man after God's own heart? Number one, be filled with God's love. Now, I think this is the first thing to grasp about David, this extraordinary man, that he knew and experienced the love of God in his own life in a profound way. And when you experience God's love in your own life, it enables you then to love him, and it expands your capacity to love other people. A man after God's own heart. Number one, be filled with God's love. Number two, to be a man after God's own heart, be loyal to your wife. Now, here's an interesting thing. When it comes to loyalty, David did better with his friends than he did with his family. He had a deep loyalty to Jonathan. He had an extraordinary loyalty to Saul. He had an intense loyalty to his own group of 400 fighting men, who also returned that great loyalty to him. So intense loyalty to his friends, and even in Saul's case, his enemy. But he didn't do so well when it came to his wife. It was common, of course, for kings in those days throughout the ancient world to have many wives. But did you know, by the way, that God had specifically commanded in the Old Testament that Israel's king was to be different in this regard? If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 17, you'll see it very clearly there. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 17, God says about the king in Israel, he must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. So it was common practice for kings to be polygamous in the ancient world. But God said in the book of Deuteronomy, for Israel's king, it must be different. He must not take many wives, as is the common practice. Simply, David did not keep that commandment. He married Michal, the daughter of Saul. He married Abigail after the death of her first husband, Nabal. And he married, of course, Bathsheba after the death of her husband, Uriah. Then if you look in 2 Samuel in chapter 5 and verse 13, you'll see that that wasn't the end of it. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 13, after David left Hebron, he took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem, and more sons and daughters were born to him. So we have to say that David was not loyal to his wife. This was an area of his life that frankly was out of control. And you cannot read the story of David without seeing that it hurt him, that it hurt his family, and that it hurt the very kingdom of God. It's one of the massive failures by any standards in David's life. So set this as a priority. Be loyal to your wife in your deeds and in your thoughts. Set that as a priority because it matters. It matters to you, it matters to your children, and it matters to the kingdom. And all of that we learn from the life of David. Be filled with the love of God. Be loyal to your wife. Number three, a man after God's own heart will lead in a way that refreshes others. Lead in a way that refreshes others. Now, by any standards, David was an extraordinary leader. And in his last words that I'd like us to turn to in 2 Samuel chapter 23, he talks about the marks of effective leadership. 2 Samuel chapter 23, please turn to this. And David is speaking prophetically here, and he's speaking about leadership. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 3. When one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God. So he's talking about leadership. He's talking about the way in which authority is exercised, the way in which leadership is given in a nation, or indeed in a family, or in any other sphere. When one rules over other men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of the Lord, what is it like? Two descriptions. He is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, and like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. Now, these are two beautiful pictures of effective leadership. What's it like? It's like the light of morning at sunrise. Now, that's a picture of hope, obviously. Here's been this long, dark night, but the spirits of everyone are lifted when the sun comes up. The sun rises on a cloudless day. And David says that's what effective leadership looks like. It brings hope to people who have been in great darkness. That's your role within the family, to where the family is in great difficulties, that the role of the leader is to be able to shine light so that there is hope for those God has given to you. And of course, that is what David did for Israel. He inherited a loose coalition of tribes with little loyalty to each other, barely able to defend themselves. And what he did was he led them to become a great and strong nation. It wasn't easy, but his leadership in Israel was like the light of sunrise on a cloudless morning. It brought hope, it brought strength for the people he led. And then this other picture, effective leadership is like the rain that brings grass from the earth. It's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of refreshing. In other words, good leadership in the family causes your wife and your children to flourish, to grow. It's like the grass that comes up after the rain. Now again, it's interesting that David gave better leadership in his work than he did in his family. It's fascinating how often you find this pattern with David. And I think that is a real challenge for us to embrace and to respond to today. If you look at 1 Samuel in chapter 22, that's 1 Samuel in chapter 22, you'll see there what he did well. Extraordinary piece of leadership. When David was in the cave of Adullam, we're told that a group of people came to him. They were all those who were in distress, in debt, and discontented. And they gathered around him and he became their leader. There were about 400 with him. That's a pretty desperate team to work with, isn't it? You're the leader, you're in a cave, and what do you get? All those who are distressed, a bunch of guys who are in debt, and all of them with the common factor of being discontented. And what can you do with a motley crew like that? Well, the genius of David's leadership is that he takes this motley crew that comes to him in the cave of Adullam and forges them into an army of fighting men who were fiercely loyal to him. That's leadership. And in this, David is a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. who will take you in your distress and in all your indebtedness and in all of the discontent of your life, and he will make you one of God's mighty men if you will commit yourself to his leadership in your life. That's the key. These folks had a bag of problems when they came to David, as you may have a bag of problems when you come to Jesus. But the key is that they committed themselves to his leadership. They followed him, and he made something out of them. When Jesus comes into the world, he says, "Now you follow me, I will make you something. I will make you fishers of men." Extraordinary leadership in which David points us to Jesus Christ. But you know, if only David had applied the same skill in his family as he did in his work. Because when it came to his family, David didn't do so well. Let me give you one or two examples that show a pattern. I want you to see the pattern. David had a son called Amnon. This guy Amnon was attracted to his half-sister, whose name was Tamar. He raped her. It was a terrible thing. Abuse in the royal household. And you know what David did? Absolutely nothing. Now think about that. This family needed crisis intervention from the father. The boy Amnon needed to be confronted. And if David had done that, he would have been like light at sunrise for his family. But he stood back and did nothing. David had another son called Absalom. And Absalom was Tamar's full brother, and he was furious and had determined revenge because of what had been done to his sister. And Absalom did not speak to Amnon for 2 years. The Bible says not a single word. 2 years. You have two brothers in the same house, and they're not speaking to each other for 2 years. You've got a problem. There's a slow-burning fuse right there. And you know what David did about it? Absolutely nothing. If David had helped Absalom to deal with his anger, he would have been like the rain that brings grass from the earth. But he didn't. Then one day, the two brothers were out, Absalom and Amnon, and Absalom took Amnon's life, and then he fled. So now you have an alienated son who eventually raised a revolt against David himself and ousted him for a time from Jerusalem, and the revolt ended with Absalom's own tragic death. And when Absalom's gone, you know what David did? Absolutely nothing. So there's a pattern here. Here is a man who has marvelous leadership skills, but has become passive in relation to his family. And if only he had taken the skills that he invested so effectively in his work and applied them effectively in his family, the course of history may indeed have been very different in the grace of God, because he would have been to his family then light as at sunrise, and like the rain that brings grass from the earth. Now here we're obviously learning from David by way of contrast, and here's my challenge to the dads in the church today. Will you commit before God today on this Family Sunday that by God's grace and with his help, you will give effective leadership in your home? And we have been given two pictures of what that actually looks like. The kind of leadership that is like light at the sunrise of morning and like the rain that brings grass from the earth. Will you commit by God's grace to give that kind of leadership that has that kind of effect for your wife and for your children and indeed for your grandchildren? And you know, your family may be very difficult and even dysfunctional right now, as clearly David's was in an extreme way. But your calling is that your wife and your children will have hope because you are there. That they will flourish and that they will grow because you have your hand on the tiller of family life. Don't be passive. Learn what is happening in your kids' lives and then exercise the leadership that God has trusted to you. That may mean that there needs to be some intervention. It may mean setting some new standards this week. It may mean sitting down with a son or a daughter and saying, you know, I have to tell you that I have failed God and you by not giving the leadership you need in this family, and I'm sorry. But now we have to get on a new and on a different track, and when we do, it will be for your lasting good.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A Man After God's Own Heart, part of our series, Godly Character. And we'll get back to this message in just a moment. Well, as we quickly approach the end of the year, I want to ask you to consider a generous year-end gift. Open the Bible does depend on your giving to keep this program on this station, as well as make the website, the podcast, and other ministry tools available. We really are a listener-supported ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of Pastor Colin's brand new book. It's entitled Hike Through the Bible. It's 50 chapters taking you through the whole Bible story from Genesis to Revelation. It'll help you understand the Bible story better and love Jesus more. And it's our thank you for your financial support before the end of this month. To give your year-end gift and receive your copy of Hike Through the Bible, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or give online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? Well, it will mean being filled with God's love, being loyal to others, and leading in a way that refreshes. Here's the last thing. It will mean that you lean on God's promise. Now, you can't understand David without coming to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and the great promise that God gave to him. So let's turn quickly to that as our last scripture this morning. This promise of God given to David in 2 Samuel 7 was without doubt the most important event in all of David's life. And it's interesting that God gave this marvelous promise of the coming Redeemer who would be born into the house of David at a time of great disappointment in David's life. Nathan had just announced that David would not be the one to build the temple, and that must have been heartbreaking for David because, of course, it was his dream. And so let me, in these very last moments, address these remarks to men who are disappointed and discouraged in life this morning. You're not living your dream. Things have not worked out in your family as you had hoped. And right now you are not the person that you wanted to be either. I want us to look at God's promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11, where God says, "The Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers," that's even after your own death, "I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son." The promise here, of course, is that David's line, his line of descendants, will be established, and especially that God's kingdom will be established by one who comes into that line, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Now think about what this means to David as he's facing discouragement. He's thinking that he won't be able to achieve everything he would have liked to in his life, that things haven't come together in the way that he'd hoped, that opportunities that he would have loved to have embraced are not now going to be opened up to him. And he's struggling with all of that. And what does God do? He brings in the promise of the Redeemer. And he says, "David, there is more grace still to come." See, when you look at your life, your family, your work, the church, the world. You are looking at a work in process. It's kind of like going through a house in the middle of remodeling. We seem to be on that theme at the moment. But you see, the contractor is doing the work, and it's a complete mess in the middle. And if the contractor were to abandon the work halfway through, it would be an utter disaster. But you know that what you see now is not the final outcome, and that knowledge keeps you going. And the way that you live with the mess is by leaning on the promise that the contractor will finish the job. And when God began a work in your life, his cast iron commitment was that it would be brought to completion. He commits himself to finishing what he starts. What that means is this: that every man in this church who belongs to Jesus Christ will one day reflect his glory fully. It's awesome to think about it. But it is the promise of the gospel that every man in this church who belongs to Jesus Christ will one day fully reflect his glory. Lean into that. God has more grace still to come in your life. There are more things that he still has to do. And when he does them, they will surprise you with joy. What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? Got to be filled with the love of God. You just can't live this life without the love that God has for you being born within you. Be loyal to your wife. You've got to give leadership that refreshes. And you've got to lean into the promise of God that there is more grace yet to come.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A Man After God's Own Heart, part of our series, Godly Character. And if you ever want to go back and listen to a message again, you can do that by coming to our website. It's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Colin, the truth that God's promise is greater than our sin really is life-changing.
It really is. Yeah. God's grace is greater than my sin. Yeah. That is fantastic good news. The Bible says that sin reigned. That's past tense as far as a believer is concerned, because in Christ, grace reigns. And what that means is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ not only is able to forgive us for our sins, but has the power to set us free from the reign and the grip that sin has in our lives. What that means is that sin is still a Christian's enemy, but the Bible says it will no longer be your master. You're in a position to fight. You're in a position to live a new life. And that's the hope of the gospel.
It is. And as we begin to understand what it means to allow the gospel to transform us in the here and now, that changes the way in which we do battle, which we do fight against sin.
That's right. To be telling yourself that you're in a position of inevitable defeat is to predict inevitable defeat.
Right.
But when the truth is that you are in Christ and the Holy Spirit is for you and with you, that means that however many times you've failed in a battle with temptation, you can go out and fight, and you can go out and by the grace of God, you can prevail today. So be encouraged. Be ready to engage in the fight and know that sin never has the last word as far as a child of God is concerned.
Well, that is good news, isn't it? You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast or you want to go back and listen again, do that at our website, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Doctrine.
Watch Your Doctrine is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible for every believer. The 6 sessions will introduce you to 6 central truths of the Christian faith: how we know God, how God speaks to us, how sin affects us, how God's Spirit brings new life, how we're made right with God, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, or to begin this free online course, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.